strive to survive. Lord, will there be only a few saved? Jesus never gives an answer to that question, but rather tells us what to do. Try your best to enter by the narrow gate. Strive is another translation, to enter by that narrow gate. The reality of heaven and the reality of hell are both part and parcel of the Jewish, Christian and Muslim teachings, part of what we call the creed of all monotheistic religions. If there is a heaven, there must be a hell. They both must go together, like two sides of a coin. Back in the 40s and 50s, some perhaps would have said the church focused too much on hell, preached on it all the time and sin, and gave people a sense of guilt, a complex. Perhaps the motive back then was to warn people, like a deterrent, to warn people not to go there, like you do delinquents, remind them of the harshness of jail, and they might think twice before they act or commit another crime. Whatever the case or the motive of what happened back then, one thing's for certain now, since the 70s, most people don't believe in the existence of hell. Go to funerals, read what's in the paper, most presume that people go to heaven. If there is a heaven, most must go there. Perhaps the odd, wicked, perverse person who doesn't deserve anything because of what they've done in this life, they deserve to go to hell. But most people will just saunter through the pearly gates and they're there. That's also an error. This notion that we can just kind of drift into heaven is foreign to all of the major religions. It just doesn't happen like that. Why do I say that? Well, because Christ teaches otherwise. He says, strive, make an effort. It just doesn't happen. You roll out of bed through death and roll into heaven. What do we make of heaven and hell? Well, firstly, the preaching of Jesus is love, God is love of the 70s is true. God is love. Heaven is love. But we must strive to achieve that level of perfection, attain that level of holiness. The arguments that most people pitch that heaven and hell, if hell exists, not many are there. If you want to believe in the devil, it's fine. It causes guilt, hassles in people's minds, but we've moved on from all that, Father. There is a spiritual world out there, a world of grace. We can't see it. We don't have the spiritual faculty to see the world of grace. We don't have the physical faculty to see infrared light or ultraviolet light, but it exists. It exists and it's proven as a fact. Also, too, in the facts of faith, grace, heaven, hell, angels, all do exist. And one day, when we pass over and the veil of our sensed life is gone, we shall see the big picture. And the big picture might shock some, might please others. But let us not be surprised. Let us follow Christ. Firstly, let's get rid of some of the arguments that people pitch regarding the existence of hell. Firstly, in the bulletin, it doesn't exist because God is love. Yes, God is love, but God is also mercy. And it's not so much God, but us. He's testing us in this life, and we must seek to do his will, not our own. Well, God wouldn't send someone there for just small little sins. Well, God doesn't send anyone there for small little sins. We send ourselves to heaven, or we send ourselves to hell. It's our choosing in this life that determines our state of existence in the other. Get that through your head. God's not a policeman up there saying, I got you, caught you, there you go. It doesn't work like that. When we die, we won't be having a big conversation with Jesus. Well, why did you let this happen? I think he'll just show us who we actually are. He will show us every thought, word and deed. And say, well, see, you've chosen this or you've chosen me. Away you go. I think it's going to be much simpler than what we can imagine. We'll go to our own place determined by our own choices in this life. Well, why did God create such a horrific place of suffering? He didn't create it. Sin created it, as sin created suffering and death. So get that quite clear. God didn't create hell. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We send ourselves there. What will hell be like? Well, what will heaven be like? Because one is the antithesis of the other. If heaven is satisfaction, hell is dissatisfaction. If heaven is fulfillment, hell is non-fulfillment. If heaven is salvation, hell is damnation. And we're damning ourselves, not God. One is the opposite to the other. If there's a right, there must be a left. If there's an up, there must be a down. You can't have a heaven without a hell. And to say otherwise is complete theological nonsense. Both must exist, or neither exists. And I prefer to hedge my bet that both do exist. But let's not pick and choose, like a smorgasbord, what we want to believe as Christians. Because that's foreign to our heritage, as well as the Jews and the Muslims. You either take the whole package deal, or you don't. And therefore, hell does exist, as does heaven. And people send themselves to hell, and people send themselves to heaven. The choice is ours. What did Christ say? He said, strive, make an effort. Why should we make an effort? Well, simply because between here and there, between time, today, and eternity, there lies a bridge. And the bridge is called the bridge of hope. You can't enter heaven without hope in your soul. Now, hope can be brought down by two diseases. Like a bridge is built on two pillars. Well, hope can be disintegrated or destroyed by these two facts of our community. One's called despair, and the other's called presumption. Despair is that ugly darkness that says, no one can help. My sins are too great. I've gone too far. God can't even forgive me. There's no way out. I'm not talking here of clinical depression. I'm talking here of a sense of darkness. Satan sows those seeds of despair that there's no hope. Christ gives us hope. He is the light. He is the forgiving one. He is the healer, the saviour. We turn to him in this year of mercy. And for those who think they've gone too far, it's never over. He can always call you back. Don't forget Mary Magdalene. The converted prostitute was the one witness, public witness, that Christ first appeared to. Christ loves sinners who admit their sin and come back. And that's one of the reasons why we're in such turmoil today. Because since the 70s and the crisis of conscience, one thing that's disappeared from our vocab is that word sin. Most people deny the existence of sin. Most people don't even know what sins are because they've forgotten the Ten Commandments. Because there's an eclipse of sin, our spiritual health is at a very low level. And therefore, how can we turn to a saviour if we don't think we need to be saved? And that's the other side of the bridge, presumption. I'm doing okay, Father. I'll get there on my own. I don't really need Jesus or God or the church. He won't knock me back. I'm going all the way, doing it my way. You can't just go to heaven on your own. It doesn't work. We need grace. We need Jesus. We need a saviour. So presumption, that arrogance of mind, that I don't need God, or the other, God can't help me, are both to be avoided at all costs. And that's why Jesus says strive. Strive to enter by the narrow gate. What's the narrow gate? Well, the eye of the needle and the narrow gate is another homily, which I won't go into now, but it might have been a narrow gate that accessed the city. The point being, Christ is the narrow gate. Strive to enter by putting me on. Imitate me. I'm the gate unto eternity. I'll open because you're with me. But you'll have to bear your cross and follow me. Be a disciple of me. In other words, imitate me. I suffered for you, you suffer for me. I bore your sins, you confess your sins. Look like me, imitate me, and then you shall not just thrive, but you shall enter and survive. So Christ is the narrow gate, and we're called to make an effort because we want to achieve heaven. Every person on earth is called by God to eternal life, fulfillment, satisfaction, happiness, bliss, ecstasy, forever in the next life. There's only one tragedy, therefore, in this life, is to forfeit heaven, to miss out, to fail to achieve our end. And therefore, we ought to make every effort possible to know our faith, to love our God, and to keep on going and fight those ugly temptations against hope, despair and presumption. And then we shall achieve our goal. It's a good thing to give up those obstacles which prevent us from seeking God, such as I haven't been to confession for a long time, or there's some issue or relationship in my life I need to sort. Sort it out now. One is no fool to give up that which he cannot keep to gain, that which he cannot lose. In other words, make every effort to imitate Christ, put him on, and then follow him. And by doing so, you shall not just strive in this life to attain eternal life, but you shall be one of the saints in heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.